Thanks, Doug, for a really generous introduction, and to Leanne for inviting me here today. Of course, it's great to share the stage with a policy thinker of the calibre of David Hetherington. It's a delight to be in Bermagui, to have eaten a Bermagui ice cream. As I was munching it, I was thinking of a story that Bruce Childs, the former senator, was telling me this week, that Tom Uren, because he didn't generally drink, tended to want something in his hand when he was when there were meetings in pubs. So Bruce said he would regularly turn up with an ice cream. So everyone would be sort of treated to the sight of this huge, muscly former boxing champion walking into the pub with an ice cream in one hand. I thought of that as I was enjoying my ice cream on the deck out there. It's a delight to be with all of you as well, though, of course, at this time of the year, you do wonder who's minding Canberra with everyone down at the coast. In politics, we spend a lot of time dealing with the things that are most urgent, but not necessarily the ones that are most important. And I think an event like today provides an opportunity to lift our eyes up a bit to the far horizon. And I think it's also a real indication of the approach that Leanne's taken, that she would address not only the immediate challenges, but also face up to those big questions of the future with energy and with a sense of optimism. It was a century ago that the great Australian writer Henry Lawson wrote a brief account of Bermagui, and much of what he wrote about the physical landscape remains familiar today. He talked about the sort of jumbled curve of bay, of sand, rock and beach scrub on the southern coast, the squat range of Mount Dromedary, he called it a bastard mountain, and he said Bermagui is the place where the mystery was and where the mystery is. And when it comes to the natural surroundings, not much has changed. But when we think of daily life, a lot's changed. White settlement in Australia only goes back 8 or 9 generations. And just a few generations back, Bermagui was a thriving hub, connecting the Bega Valley to the outside world. In his writings, Lawson wrote of men labouring through the day in the dead of night, loading cargo holds with cheese, butter, eggs, timber, calves, pigs and wool. He describes ships scouting the rugged coast, delivering the rich bounty of the valley up to waiting markets in Sydney and Newcastle. But if Lawson was to return today, I think he might find less activity to inspire his pen. Because today, as Leanne's mentioned, the region faces some big economic and demographic challenges. Just a few figures paint the picture. Unemployment in the Bega Shire was just 3.8% in 2011, and it's jumped up to 8.5% in 2014. That makes it higher than the nationwide unemployment and higher than the statewide unemployment, which both sit at around 6%. The loss of jobs here mean that young people and those in their prime working years are increasingly moving away. Only 15.5% of the population here is in the 20 to 39 age bracket, compared to 27% in New South Wales overall. In fact, this is the oldest electorate demographically in the state. The median age is 48, compared to 38 across the state. Now, as somebody whose own age has a 4 in front of it, I certainly wouldn't want to say that there's anything wrong with that. It means the bigger electorate has more experience, judgment, taste, a little more gravitas. But an older population also generates challenges in terms of service delivery, employment and other fields. As many of you know too, incomes here are significantly lower than New South Wales average. 45% of Bega residents receive some form of government benefit, compared to 27% for New South Wales overall. And for the Indigenous community here, 22% of people are unemployed, and only 18% attain Year 12 or equivalent qualifications. So this part of the world has challenges, but they're not insurmountable ones. Not if we apply energy and thought to finding solutions. Now Leanne has a number of big ideas she'll be talking about through the campaign, including establishing an agriculture labour exchange and training organisation that can build the local agricultural workforce and move kids from this community up the skill chain. She's talked about creating a single brand for the far south coast that helps promote your local products, as well as expanding tourism, and about emphasising smaller, sustainable forestry and fishery operations as a replacement for industrial forestry and commercial fishing. I think they're great ideas, and I hope you'll all share with Leanne your own thoughts and insights about how to bring them to fruition. But in the time I've got today, I wanted to share a few of my own thoughts about how this region can focus its energies and harness new opportunities. One of the fundamental principles in economics, and we have one of Australia's great economists here in the audience today, is the notion of comparative advantage. It's basically a fancy way of saying that whether you're an individual, a company, or a country, you get the most benefit when you play to your strengths. So, for example, I'm all right with an Excel spreadsheet, but Stephen Smith's exceptionally good with a cricket bat. So it wouldn't be efficient or effective to have him playing with the latest labour force data. And let's face it, no one's asked me to head out to the SCG. And applied to regions, comparative advantage recognises the fact that no regional community can be all things to all people. The important thing for successful regional economic development is to work out where each region's own comparative advantage lies. What does a region do better, more efficiently, more effectively than other communities around Australia? And some of the things that immediately strike me as having great potential are agriculture and produce, renewable energy, and cultural or ecotourism. You've got a clean and green environment for making all those high-quality, specialty food products that inner-city bearded hipsters love. And the success of the Tilba Cheese Factory down the road is testament to that. The Bega Cheese Factory also shows it's possible to scale that kind of production up for the export market. The region's got a lot of potential for wind power and wave generation, as anyone who's gone for a walk along Haywards Beach in April can attest. And with almost three-quarters of the electorate being designated national park, is potential to partner with Indigenous communities to create unique cultural and ecotourism experiences that harness the wild and natural beauty of this part of the world. So identifying and exploiting your sources of comparative advantage is one priority. Another should be breaking down the barriers of distance and access that serve to disadvantage the community. One of the big areas of potential here would be the growth of internet and mobile connectivity. If they've got a fast and reliable internet connection, Bega's young people can study online at any university of their choosing around Australia. Sea changers and people looking to ease into retirement can work remotely in just about any field. After all, if a lawyer or financial advisor can provide professional services to Hong Kong for an apartment in Sydney, there's no reason they can't also do it in a house by the beach right here. With better mobile and internet infrastructure, local businesses can reach out to the world and find new markets or customers. And, for that matter, tourists are whine less about their inability to check Facebook. I understand you've also already got a small cluster of IT services and companies here in the electorate, but better connectivity would make them grow. But boosting the region's internet and mobile infrastructure takes input from outside. You need the big telcos to take their service delivery more seriously. You need the state and federal government to get cracking on core infrastructure like the National Broadband Network. To achieve both those things, you need a local member who's willing to go into bat for them. Leanne's got the energy and the drive to do that because she understands what connectivity would mean for this community. And finally, and this is where I get on one of my own personal hobby horses, there's a lot of evidence that more equal communities are more successful, whether it's to do with growth, social cohesion, or community life. We know that inequality exists in this community between those who live here year-round and those who come for the summer, Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, comfortably off Canberra retirees and struggling young families. Inequality isn't a problem that simply resolves when other conditions improve. But fixing it can help solve other problems and boost the community's well-being. More equal communities, the poor are better off, but the rich are better off as well. And so that means targeting government programs and support where they're most needed. Means making sure the educational attainment gaps are closed. And it means supporting families to lead stable, secure lives. I care about inequality. I know Leanne and David do too. But there's some people in politics who say inequality doesn't matter. Reminds me of a line in Lawson's account where he talks about the ship that he's on. He says, in the forecabin it's written everywhere in brass and paint and worked on the mats. Second class ladies, second class gents. And on the other, males, females. Stony fact, he says. An inequality at its worst is a stony fact. There's a lot of inequality out there in regional Australian communities, but if we work to reduce it, everyone will be better off. So as I said earlier, there's no reason to think that your challenges are insurmountable. But if you excuse the shameless partisanship, part of the solution involves having a local member who really wants to see the Bega region grow and prosper, not one who takes it for granted. This region can thrive again as it did in Lawson's day. I'm looking forward to hearing David, Leanne and your ideas about how we work together to bring about that renewal.
Thank you very much.